So a few intimations. Firstly, Josh will be back next Sunday to lead us in worship. That's the plan. So that's great news, and we'll be very happy to see him again. Also, the Bible study is continuing on a Monday evening at 7:30, so if you would like to be involved in that, speak to myself or David Bale up at the back, and we can make sure you get into the Teams group. Another thing is we're going to be thinking about salvation today. So what we're going to do is we are going to make a bit of time at the end for prayer. If people want to be prayed for, prayed with, we're going to make some time for that. So I'll be around after the service for that. Noel has kindly volunteered, and so has David. So, So our call to worship this morning comes from 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 to 29. And that says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." So let's sing together now in a spirit of worship and praise as the band lead us in singing, "I Believe in Jesus."
Yeah.
Just a quick announcement, I should say as well, next Sunday is going to be a communion service as well. Noel's now going to lead us in prayer.
Let's come before the Lord quietly, humbly, expectantly. Let us pray. Lord, as we try to center our thoughts on you this morning, open our eyes, our ears, and our senses in praise and thanksgiving for the world around us, in the place where we live, for the people around us here in church this morning, joining us online now and later, and in Littlewood Court, and in our village this morning. Jesus is risen. He is alive. He is here among us now. You came in power on the first Pentecost with your Holy Spirit. And through your Holy Spirit, indwelling in each of us, we are enabled to be the people you have made us to be. Each made in your image, yet each an individual, each with our gifts to use to your glory. So let us call out to God this morning, asking him to do his work through us, preparing us for the enabling and the growing of his life in us, like a mustard seed planted in his ground, that we may grow and become like a tree, beautiful, being a resting place and fruit for others to share and to see your work in us. We give you thanks, Lord, that with your eyes, your indwelling in us, the unbeautiful becomes beautiful. The horrors of war, the effects of climate change, become less scary, knowing that you are in control. This morning, we also give thanks for our Queen, celebrating her Platinum Jubilee, 70 years of faithful service to this country and the Commonwealth, and a lifetime of service to you, Lord. And yet, Lord, we are a sinful people in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. Just take a quiet moment now to confess your sins before God. Father, forgive us and free us from our sin. As we grow nearer to you and recognize anew the sacrifice that you have made for us in sending your Son Jesus to live among us and to die for us, that we might know the ultimate sacrifice for our sin has been made. Thank you, Lord. It is in forgiveness, Lord, you to us and us to others, that we know the power of your love. So let us pray together as Jesus taught us, slowly reflecting on the words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Noel. We're now going to go into a couple of kids' songs. There's no kids' address today, but we're going to be doing a bit more singing, so hopefully you guys will be into that.
So if you suffer from mobility problems, now's your time to get loosened up. Right, let's sing first of all. God's love is the best love.
The first of today's readings is taken from Mark chapter 15 and reading from verse 33 to 39. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom. And when the centurion who had stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was a son of God." The next reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you are confessed and are saved." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Suzanne. We're now going to sing another song And the band are going to lead us, and the song is You Rescued Me. Just to go back to, if you remember the Bible verses we were looking at there, we're going to be thinking about salvation. So we're going to be thinking about some real truth today. So the first thing to say is Christ died for you. And I'm going to name some names because we need to be clear on this. Just randomly. Leslie and Nell, Christ died for you. David Bale, Christ died for you. Sheila, Christ died for you. Charlie, Christ died for you. Everyone in here, Christ died for you. When was the last time you told someone those words or had someone say it to you? It might have been a while. So I want to have this at the beginning and the end of what we're thinking about this morning, that Christ died for you. So what I want to do is I want to expand a little on what came out of our Bible study a couple of weeks ago. When we're looking, we've been going through the book of Mark, and we got to Mark chapter 15 and the crucifixion account of Jesus. And what came out of it was a different angle than what I'd intended, but sometimes that's where we get the best conversation. So to set the scene of Mark 15, 33 to 39, Jesus had been put on the cross. And while he's on the cross, we've got some crazy stuff going on. We've got Roman soldiers who are effectively playing games to see who's going to get Jesus' clothing? We've got a placard on the cross that reads King of the Jews, which would have been a deliberate attempt by the Roman authorities to wind up the Jewish leaders. And then Jesus, Son of God, on the cross, hanging there in the middle between two convicted criminals. And he's also being taunted and mocked by people as they go by. So I say again, he did this for you. So take a minute just to think about it, and what a horrible, bleak and desperately sad situation. In verse 34, Jesus' words, my God, why have you forsaken me? This can be a bit confusing on first pass. Let's be honest about it. Why would you have God the Son asking God the Father why he's allowing this? Well, to answer it, let's be clear on what sin is. Sin is effectively rebellion against God. And it comes in many forms, many ways, and we're all guilty of it. Think of the first words to the hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And it goes, How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. So who's the wretch the hymn is talking about? It's us. But who's the treasure the hymn's talking about? It's also us. So I'll say again, Christ died for you. Sin's a terrible thing, and it separates you from God. So we need to not forget how bad sin really is. Let's be honest, it's easy to know what's wrong in a given situation and just do it anyway. The way we can act towards others, the way we can speak towards others. I'd argue that the root of sin is pride, because we're choosing not to do what God would have us do, as it will glorify him. And so we choose to do what we want instead, to bring glory to ourselves. And this is the heart of sin, where we put ourselves above God. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is in the context of Jesus taking on our sin. So let's be clear, Jesus was no sinner. But he did take on our sin. All the wrong things that we've done and will ever do, and he paid that price for us on the cross, so that we don't have to pay for it ourselves. We know that when we sin, it causes us to move further away from God, not closer. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when we understand how bad and destructive sin is, we can then understand how amazing it is that Christ would take that punishment for you. It's also a fulfillment of prophecy. And we've spoken about this in the Bible study quite a bit too. Isaiah 53, which testifies to the arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion of Christ. So if it's been a while since you've read that chapter, I would, when you get home, take a look at it. And then think about the crucifixion in light of Isaiah 53. Did you know that Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, is a direct quote from Psalm 22, verse 1. Again, the cross was prophetic. Looking back through Mark's gospel, as we've been doing in the Bible study, Jesus was telling the disciples this was going to happen. and that he would be handed over and killed, but he would also rise again. And as we've just seen, this had been on the cards not just about 700 or so years previously when Isaiah was written, but part of God's plan from the very beginning. It's then clear to us that the dichotomy of the cross was that it was brutal, but it was also beautiful. Brutal in that it's not just the worst way to die, but to be mocked and taunted the way he was by people who didn't see who he was in the process. But it was beautiful in that it was fulfillment of prophecy. Beautiful in the fact that Jesus was willing to go through this for you. And it was therefore the most selfless act imaginable that then allowed us to become close to God. This is the biggest act of love ever known. And this is where salvation begins. Recognizing in this fact and believing this fact, because it is indeed fact. To quote verse 39, "And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" He got it, and we praise God for that. He understood what it achieved and what it meant for him. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? And I don't think that we're really going to fully grasp the enormity of this side of eternity, but I guarantee you we will on the other side. Because let's not forget that following the utter darkness of the crucifixion was the utter brilliance of the resurrection. Yes, Christ died for you, and it had to happen, as it was the only way that your sin and my sin was to be paid for. And we also know from the Easter message that he rose on the third day, and so now we can be with him for eternity. So let's then be clear. We need the understanding of how bad sin really is to understand how good the sinless Jesus is. We need to look to how perfect Jesus is so we can understand how imperfect and in need of saving from sin that we are. And the cross gives you that way out of separation from God. Remember how he said sin separates us from God? Well, Christ took on your sin on the cross, and that debt has been paid, and that is the most important thing you will ever learn. So if that doesn't make you happy, nothing will. So let's rejoice in that fact. So how then do we respond to what Jesus achieved for us on the cross? In other words, how do we get right with God? To set us up for looking at the passage from Romans 10 that Suzanne read us as well, let me read the words of the first verse of the hymn that we sang at Echt Church last week. "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in." So to sing these words and mean them is to act out Romans 10, 9 and 10. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth you profess and are saved." Because Jesus yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in, that's what makes him Lord. I've said already many times in like 10 minutes that Christ died for you, but we can never hear that enough. And he died for you that so now you've got the freedom, you can go to him. Believe in him, trust him, and accept him for who he is, your Lord and Saviour. And that's where we find grace. Notice how verse 9 says, declare with your mouth. In our joint service last week, if you were there, the prayer for the day was in front of the handout that we were given. And I want to say as well, it was brilliant to see a church full to overflowing as we had in Echt last week. And we thank Echt for the warm welcome that they gave us. The last two lines of the prayer said, that God may be glorified and Christ revealed in all that you are and in all that you do. Which is absolutely true, and it's the right attitude to take. But I would add another line at the end of that that would be, in all that you say. If you're a Christian, you have to publicly declare it. Because if we're not willing to say what Christ has done for us, then we're definitely not willing to tell other people what Christ can do for them. And the message of Christ crucified is the most important message anyone will ever hear. And this is also the message we as Kemeny Parish Church have to take to the world. And it's a message that it must reside deep, deep within your hearts. It's the second part of verse 9. If we don't believe it, then we won't confess it. But if we do believe it, it's too important not to confess. So I want you all to just roll with me for a minute here, because we need to be used to confessing what we believe. And I want you all to repeat after me if you're a Christian. Also, if you truly want to follow Jesus, then we'll say these words together. And it goes for anybody, if you're watching online, and it goes for our friends at Littlewood Court right now as well. And if you're not there yet, don't worry about it. I'm not going to pressure anyone into saying something they're not comfortable with. And I intentionally say yet, because God will work in you in his time and not mine. So we're going to take Romans 10, verse 9. We're going to make it personal to ourselves. We're going to take Paul's words to us, and we're going to make those words our words. So repeat after me. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. So if you said that and you really believed it, and you meant every word, then the Holy Spirit is within you and you are saved. Why? Because verse 10 tells us, for it's with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. When Paul talks about your heart, he's talking about the absolute core of your being, body, mind, and spirit. And if you genuinely meant what you just said, then right now you are right with God. Think about how that makes you feel. It's joy, it's a burden lifted, right? How could it possibly be anything else? Don't you want that for everyone that you know and everyone that you don't know? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. So let's be clear on a few things. Going to church in and of itself will not save you. Being a good person in and of itself will not save you. Putting others before yourself in and of itself will not save you. But confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead does. And if we think back to the Roman soldier in the Mark 15 passage who watched Jesus die on the cross, He confessed it out loud, and he believed it in his heart, and we are to do the same. Today's Pentecost Sunday, if you weren't aware of that, where in Acts 2, the apostles were in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them the ability to speak the saving good news of Jesus to all sorts of people in all their different languages as well. The apostles confessed this to the multitude of people and believed it from the core of their being. So when we take these verses of Romans 10, 9 and 10, this is the message that we've got for the world. We need to bring the good news of what Jesus accomplished on the cross to the world, because it's good news to a broken world, and we all know that the world is a broken place. We just need to look around us, look at the news. We know what it's done for us, so we should naturally want that for other people too. If you can remember a month or so ago, when I was up here last and I spoke about unity in the church, well, that unity's got a direction, and the direction is Christ. That's where we want to point people to. If a church isn't willing to use its God-given gifts and talents of its people to point people to Jesus, it's going to surely die out. I also said last time that we're going through a tough time in the Church of Scotland with the presbytery planning process. It's tough, for sure, but we can't let it take away from the purpose for which we exist, and that's to glorify God and tell the world about the good news of Jesus. If we keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts fixed on Christ and Him crucified, and be willing to share that message in a spirit of unity, love, and humility, then we won't just get through it, but we will see God do great things here. And if we do this, then we're going to see our church grow in, firstly, maturity, and also in numbers. So be encouraged. Think back to the first moment when God took a hold of you and you gave your life to Him. Remember back to how you felt, what you experienced, and what it meant to you. And on reflection, the enormity of what was happening at that time. Think about where you are just now. Do you still have that excitement? Have you lost some of it, and do you want it back? Someone will have told you at some point Christ died for you. It might have hit you instantly, or it could have been a slow burner over time like it was with me. Remember I said back at the very start, I will begin and end with the message that Christ died for you. Well, this is the message we've got for the world. And it's the amazing, humbling, joyous message of truth. And let's be clear that it is truth. And it's truth that we have to share. So again, I say, Christ died for you. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, we pray for all those across the world who have yet to hear the message of Christ and Him crucified. We pray that You will send people to them to give them this message and to show Your love for them. We pray for all those across the world who have heard the message of Christ and Him crucified, but whose hearts are hardened. We pray that those hearts will be softened and become open and receptive to You. We pray for the violence we are seeing in Ukraine. We pray that You will strengthen Your church there and that the violence will end swiftly. We ask that somehow, in the middle of this, that You'll be glorified. We lift up all those who are suffering there, those who have lost loved ones, those who feel helpless, scared, and unsure of what the future holds. Hold them in Your hand, Lord. We pray for those who've been affected by landslides in Brazil, for those who have lost family members, friends, and homes, and we ask for Your divine comfort to be upon them. We pray for the migrants who continue to cross the channel. We ask that You will bring them people who will share the saving message of Jesus Christ, and that as a country we can look after them as best we can. We pray for those who are struggling with the price of food and fuel, and we give thanks for organizations such as Christians Against Poverty and ask that You will work through them. We pray for the Queen as we look back on 70 years of her service, and we thank You for her faith in You, Lord. We ask that she will continue to look to You for guidance. We ask that You will bless her and keep her. There are so many things in the world that need prayer. The world's a broken place and in desperate need of You, Lord, in desperate need of the saving message of Christ and Him crucified. And we bring all these things to You now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So given we've been thinking about salvation quite a lot, we're going to close with a wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. We all know it, so let's sing it loud. Being able to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead is both an outward expression and an inward verification that you are indeed a child of God. Regardless of this is you for the first time or if you've been living this for years, cling to it. Christ died for you. It's the most important message you will ever hear. So let this fundamental truth dwell richly within you and be blessed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. To say, I did say at the start, please take a seat now. I said that we will make some time for prayer. We've been thinking about salvation this morning, and if it's touched you at all, then, you know, as a church, we should have that ability to pray for and with each other. So if you would like prayer just now, please hang back. There's no pressure. Noel's here, David's here. I'm here, I'm going to nip to the back, and then I'll come back here. So if you would like prayer, just stay where you are, make yourself known to Judith, to Noel or David, and I'll be back shortly.